Welcome back to Sports Radio 810 WHB. Pleased to be talking some Big East football now, and we'll be joined by none other than the head coach of West Virginia University, actually calling in from Houston and not from the state of West Virginia, Coach Dana Holgorsen. Welcome.
Hey, Jay. How you doing, man?
Hey, we're doing great, Coach. Life's got to be good for you, man. You're the head of a major football program, BCS Conference. A lot of publications like the Mountaineers' chances this year.
It's went like kind of like a whirlwind here over the last probably year and a half. You know, dating back to when I was at the University of Houston working for Kevin Sumlin, which is why I'm kind of here right now. It's just my time here in Houston for about 10 years leading into the jump to Oklahoma State. You know, which was kind of a hard jump for me actually, just because I didn't know what I was getting into there, and I knew I had a good thing working with Kevin and having Case Keenum coming back and everything, but. Went ahead and made the jump. Things worked out there, and here I am at West Virginia as the head football coach. I'm pretty fired up.
Speaking of jump, as soon as you got the head coaching job, you jumped out of an airplane.
that was kind of fun, man. I was with the West Virginia State Police officers, and the guy that was the head of it was Colonel Jay Smithers, who runs the West Virginia deal, and he was there doing a jump, and I just happened to bump into these guys, and we're actually going fishing with those guys, and we had a couple of fishers, and Coach Huggins was along, and we had a good time fishing, and they said they were going to do it, and I said, hey, I'll go ahead and do it with you. It turned out to be pretty fun.
Some you do again?
Absolutely. And then about probably 2.5 hours after I landed, which was kind of a crash landing, so to speak, but it didn't hurt it. Lots of adrenaline, so it didn't really hurt very much. But then I was back having my first team meeting with the guys, and they got a kick out of it as well.
It's probably a lot of people in the state of West Virginia holding their breath when they saw that landing.
Nah, sure it is. Those guys are professionals. They've done it 10,000 times. It was kind of a neat parallel, though, because I, went back and talked to the team about it and said, look, guys, you guys got to trust each other. You got to trust that the systems are going to work. You got to trust that your coaches are going to coach you hard. You got to trust that, we got all the pieces in place that we need to win a championship. Just like those guys, those four guys that went up into the airplane, they had to trust each other. They, one guy was telling them when to jump, and one guy was kind of checking all their equipment, and one guy got the landing part set up and checked out all the wind and all that stuff. So there's a tremendous amount of trust that those guys doing what they're doing well.
Football is a game of trust, and I remember reading one of Pete Carroll's books one time, and he talked about, when you have defense, when you have linebackers, it's all about trusting the other guys around you, trusting the guys up front to keep guys off of you, trusting the safeties to come up and help, and in the offense, and quarterbacks trusting your offensive line. But football is a game about trust, and when you have that trust with your teammates and you know you're going to be doing your job, then you're more free to do your own job.
Yeah, there's no question. It goes into your coaching staff as well, And we've talked about this with the coaching staff here in the last 3 or 4 weeks about, because everybody's wondering what I was going to do once I took over a month ago, and I was like, well, I'm not going to do anything. I already feel like we got everything in place that we need. The schemes are solid. We have unbelievable schemes, as good as anywhere in the country. We got position coaches that are as good as anywhere in the country. So, let's just trust everything's going to work out for the best and move on and don't look back and go forward and hopefully win a championship.
Talking to West Virginia head coach Dana Holgorsen. And, Coach, I read an article recently where you went fishing and you said, quote, it was very calm. There were no houses. There was no traffic, no motorboats. There was just a lot of peaceful time to the point where I could reflect on what's going on and understand the situation that changed last Friday. Obviously talking about now becoming a head coach.
Yeah, which, and that starts with viewing the staff a little bit differently. I mean, I was hired to be the OC there for a year, and I sat in those rooms with the guys that I hired, and I really feel like I hired five guys that were that knew exactly kind of how I did things and wanted, sat in those meetings, and they went pretty easy just due to the fact that everybody knew what I was talking about. But I got to kind of get out of that room now, and I got to focus more on what's happening in special teams. I got to focus more on what's happening defensively, and I already know what the schemes are, but now I got to kind of get to know the players a little bit better. I kind of tried to get to know some of the defensive guys and some of the specialists, but my focus was mainly on the offense. So that's the biggest thing that changed. Nothing's going to change from a scheme standpoint or a coaching standpoint, but people are looking at me a little bit differently now. So, you know, I got to handle things a little differently now as well.
Coach, you also went on to say that you've been preparing for this for some time. You work with some good people, Mike Leach and Kevin Sumlin, who are very dear friends of yours, that you took. What kind of things did you take from Mike Leach and Kevin Sumlin, obviously speaking about your time at Texas Tech and at the University of Houston?
Well, you know, you get things different from everybody. You know, I mean, there's some things that, you know, and Mike's an unbelievable football coach and obviously was an all-time winning coach here at Texas Tech and did a great job in the offenses. You know, from an organizational standpoint, a structure standpoint, yeah, I changed some things when I left to go to Houston, but the basis is what I learned from him. And, you know, there's some things that he didn't do very well that I learned from that, and then the same thing goes with Kevin. I mean, you take everybody that you work for, and you see what fits you. You don't try to be somebody else. You try to take things that are good. You know, what you felt like they did good, you try to take things that you think that they didn't. That were maybe possibly some of their weaknesses or stuff, and see how that fits into who you are and what kind of a coach you want to be. So, you know, I'm my own.
Coach, you there? Coach, you there? I think we lost you. All right, there you go. You're back, Coach. But anyway, you were talking about Mike Leach and Kevin Sumlin. Got to ask you, did you take any pirate knowledge from one of our favorite guys, Mike Leach?
Yeah, the whole swing your sword thing. That's right. I've heard that about four different times. I mean, and that was one of the things that he really did a good job with the whole team as far as, you know, getting them to play hard and cutting it loose. You know, whether it's after a win or after a loss, you know, you got guys that play tentative sometimes for specific reasons. And if you figure out those specific reasons, then you know, that's something that nobody else in the entire world has ever been able to figure out. But anyway, his way to approach it was just getting them to swing their sword, you know, and I know he's got his book coming out that's just like that, that's going to describe a lot of this stuff, but really did a good job with motivating his guys from the swing your sword thing.
I can't imagine working for a more interesting guy than Coach Leach. And I tell you, Coach, you made six stops along the way before you get your head coaching job. You know, how difficult is that for a young coach in the profession? You moved from you were at Wingate and you were at Mississippi College, Texas Tech, Houston, Oklahoma State. Are there times along the road when you wonder, when am I ever going to get my chance?
Well, I didn't worry about that too much, Jay. I mean, shoot, I was at some pretty good places. If you look back at the last, I don't know, the 12 years or whatever it is, I mean, we've been to 12 bowl games, and, you know, haven't been to a BCS game, which that's the next thing that I'm more interested in than anything, obviously. But, you know, I've been at some pretty good places, and I've always been the type of guy that wasn't sitting there trying to chase jobs or get interviews or any of that stuff. I just did my best where I was at, and I was happy where I was at. And I could have stayed at any of the spots that I was at for a long, long time, you know. But, you know, we had some success, and opportunities came up, and you got to get on them when you can get on them. And, you know, this was an easy job to take right now due to the fact that I really had a tremendous amount of trust in Oliver Luck. And, you know, we have a brand new president, and Dr. Clements has only been there for a year. So to be able to go in on the front end of those guys being there is something that's pretty cool.
Coach, you know, you talk about your numbers and your success that you've had. I mean, your numbers speak for yourself. When you went to Texas Tech, the total yardage went from 324 to 529. The Red Raiders were number 7 in the country prior to your arrival, then number 4 in your first year there as offensive coordinator. 2007, Tech led the nation in passing when Graham Harrell went off. When you were at Houston, the Cougars were 3-1. In total offense in the country. And, of course, we all know here in Big 12 country what you did last year with Oklahoma State. But I got to ask you this. When you make these different stops and you go into these different situations, as you're going to be in this year as well, but as the head coach, how difficult is it getting to know your talent? When you first get there, you obviously had immediate success at each stop that you went, but how difficult was that finding, as an offensive coordinator, finding that talent and using them the way you wanted to?
Yeah, it takes time. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, and it wasn't until about game three or four that first year at Houston that we knew, you know, what we were dealing with. I think it was game five. We were sitting at 1-3 after the hurricane came through Houston, and, you know, we lost a couple of close ones. But, You know, I wasn't talking about Game 5 there, last year at Oklahoma State. I don't know. I couldn't do it. It was a little quicker, Game 1 or 2. We kind of had a pretty good beat on it. But it just takes time. I mean, we're not at that point right now. We've only had 15 practices. I can't tell you where we're at and how it stacks up to the rest of the people in the Big East. I really don't care. Where we're at now is we got to reassess, you know, what our positions are. We got guys in there that are going to be practicing that they weren't in spring. You know, so we got to take 20 practices here in fall camp and figure out where we're at and then line up game one and even give us a better idea of where we're at and where we need to head from there. You know, one of the things that I was proud of last year at Oklahoma State, especially from Brandon Wheaton's standpoint, is we got better as an offense, and he got better every single week. That, as a coach, is what you're trying to do. You know, you're trying to get better every single week and hopefully winning as many as you can.
Well, I'll tell you this much. The game against Oklahoma last year, that fourth quarter, I don't think there was a more exciting quarter in college football last year than that game between Oklahoma and Oklahoma State.
Yeah, it was nuts.
It was nuts.
I was laughing several times. I was just kind of laughing, shaking my head, going, are you kidding me? I mean, it was a bunch of fun, though.
It was an offensive quarter. I mean, that was an offensive show going on between you and Kevin Wilson.
Well, we had some special team stuff happen there at the end, too. Yep. I mean, it was... You know, we had, you know, both teams had some special teams things. It was just an unbelievable team game. Of course, they came up on top and became Big 12 champs. They deserved it, you know. But, you know, we were pretty close. I think last year, 11-2 with our two losses by Oklahoma and Nebraska by about 4 points each. We're as close as anybody last year.
Well, looking at quarterbacks, I can't imagine you ever having much trouble recruiting quarterbacks with some of the numbers they've put up. Going back even to Valdosta State in 94, where Chris Hatcher won the Harlan Hill Trophy, which, of course, is the equivalent of the Heisman in Division II football. Graham Harrell at Texas Tech, the numbers he put up. Of course, Case Keenum, we all know what he's done in the number one ranked offense he led at Houston. And, of course, Brandon Whedon at Oklahoma State, coach. You've had some fine quarterbacks to work with in your time.
Yeah, I've been pretty fortunate. You know, there's some good ones at Tech, starting with Cliff Kingsbury and moving on to BJ Simmons and Sonny Cumbie and leading into Graham and all those guys. I mean, it was I think the system kind of helps these guys, and I you hear, and you've probably had the same conversation, you know, on your show about system quarterbacks and
sure.
All that stuff. But you know, I guess our system, you know, pretty good to the point where if you're a quarterback and you're labeled a system quarterback, you're okay, but it's better than being a quarterback in a bad system. but there's, with that said, you know, there's some guys like Graham who's in the NFL, you know, Case Keenum, who's one of the top three quarterbacks in the country 2 years ago and went to Orlando. It's going to be fun to watch him come back from his injury this year. And then Brandon Wheaton, who's a big, strong 6'4", broad-shouldered, you know, first-round draft pick in baseball kind of guys. There's some guys that's been in the system that have improved that have NFL capabilities, no question.
Well, let me ask you this. Obviously, you know, you have more and more spread offenses across the country now. In the NFL, if you want a quarterback, the chances are you're going to find one that ran the spread in high school now, especially, you know, through the state of Texas. It's all over down there. College football, it's all over. You have Blaine Gabbert. You know, people are wondering him, you know, can he take the ball under center? He's always a shotgun quarterback before he was drafted. People had concerns about Sam Bradford, which turned out to have a fine year in the National Football League. I think, are we getting to the point now where the NFL will overlook spread quarterbacks and just go for the guy with the gun?
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, the NFL's shotgun rate has increased every year over the last 12 years. I don't see it reducing. I think it's going to continue to go up. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I do know that, you know, they've increased how many snaps they've been in the gun. I mean, you take a guy like, you know, Roethlisberger, who's you view Pittsburgh as a steel mill, you know, hard nose. You know, going to run the ball a whole bunch. Well, shoot, he's in the gun as much as anybody, you know.
Sure.
So, you know, and you know, shoot, I don't, you know, you say we run the spread offense. We ran the ball probably 45% of the time last year, you know, and you know, we're a little bit different than what we're at Tech, you know. I mean, our guards were in three-point stances and came off the ball, and we're big, thick guys, you know. I mean, we didn't have the big wide splits and vertical setting or any of that stuff. I mean, I think we're pretty comparable to a lot of the offenses that are in the NFL right now. I just think you get tapped as a spread guy, and then that's just what you are. You're either a spread guy or you're a pro-style guy. Well, there's a lot of variations in both.
talking to head coach Dana Holgorsen, head coach of the West Virginia Mountaineers. And coach, looking at your recruiting class this year, 22 signed the LOI, 6 of them out of the state of Florida. But obviously you have connections to the state of Texas with your time at Texas Tech and the University of Houston. Of course, Oklahoma State recruits down in Texas as well. Just some of your connections and where kind of you want to hit recruiting.
You get it. The problem with where we're at, you know, which you can view it as a problem, you can use it as an advantage. I tend to want to use it as an advantage. But you know, there's a lot of terrain where we're at. I mean, you're surrounded by Ohio, which 75% of Ohio State players come from Ohio. So there's three good players there in Ohio. You have Pennsylvania, which has got lots of good players. Maryland, especially the Baltimore D.C. area this year, has got a whole bunch of players. Virginia's got talent. There's the surrounding states have got a whole lot of players that can help you win football games, and a lot of those guys have went to West Virginia in the past. We got to make sure we keep doing that. Florida's always been good to us, got a lot of good players out of Florida. The one thing that we do want to make a big push in is going in the state of Texas. I've been recruiting Houston for 12 years. You know, we got Justin Garrison last year, who's on West Virginia's campus right now. He was the Houston Touchdown Club Player of the Year last year and led his team to a state 5A state championship game and was first team All-State. So, you know, he's a real good player who is a late bloomer that we were fortunate to get him. We got a quarterback out of Texas last year, Dallas Paul Millard, who, you know, in Texas 5A football, I think had 45 touchdowns and 5 interceptions and threw for over 10,000 yards in his career. So, you know, we want to be able to get into that. Obviously, there's a lot of talent in Texas as there is Florida and a lot of the other parts of the country. But through my ties and our staff ties and TCU coming into the Big East, it makes a bunch of sense to try again.
You know, Paul Millard's kind of an interesting guy, isn't he? He kind of fell under the radar despite his statistics and ended up in West Virginia.
Yeah, same thing. He was just kind of a late bloomer, you know, and you know, the thing about recruiting in the Southwest is as everybody kind of gets their quarterbacks and their running backs done early, you know, because of all the early commits and everything. Well, Paul and Dustin didn't have tremendous junior years. They had tremendous senior years. So by the time it was January rolled around their senior year, you know, shoot, everybody in the Southwest is filled up at running back and quarterback. So, you know, there's enough to go around that we can figure out who has great senior years and jump on those guys and still be able to get good quality players.
Well, we talked about, obviously, your work with quarterbacks, and you have a pretty good quarterback there as you are now at Geno Smith. And here's a guy, I like this quote that Geno Smith said, "One great thing about our coaching staff is whoever works the hardest and whoever wants it is going to be the guy who plays." I mean, this was a guy with 2,700 yards last year, 24 touchdowns and 7 picks, which in your offense would probably translate to over 4,000 yards and 48 touchdowns. But here's a guy, coach, that's talking about whoever works the hardest and who wants to be the guy. Is that kind of the philosophy of this football team? Even if you have your position, it's not yours. You have to earn it under the new coaching staff?
Yeah, it's convenient because we're new, you know. Yep. But there's nothing that motivates players more than obviously competition and having guys behind you. You know, the old adage as far as guys that are content because they're not getting pushed, aren't getting better, all that stuff. I mean, it's just obviously true. I mean, if you got guys behind guys that are pushing them, you know, and they're not just given the position and they get comfortable and just don't get any better. I mean, you know, competition makes everybody better. So you got to have guys in that are going to push them. And if anybody, you can say Geno, whoever it was, if they're a starter last year and they're not pulling their weight, then we're going to try to replace them with somebody who is. So, you know, that's a philosophy that we're taking. The whole team's going to take that attitude here.
Talking to Coach Dana Holgorsen of the West Virginia Mountaineers. And finally, Coach, Mountaineer football, the fan support there, it's really like none other. I mean, even here sitting in Kansas City, when you watch West Virginia football games and you watch some of the bowl games, the amount of people that travel and the passion in that state for the sport of football. I mean, a lot of people don't realize it out here, but that state loves that team, loves that program like it's one of their own. It's like their pro team, basically.
Yeah, it's, you know, I really didn't. I mean, I kind of knew that going into it, but until you really experience it, you really don't appreciate it, so to speak. I mean, I've met West Virginia University Mountaineer football as number one fan about 5,000 times here over the last 5 months. You know, I mean, it's seriously come up to me and say, I am the absolute number one fan that there is, bar none. I was like, well, you and about 10,000, you know. But, you know, there is a tremendous amount of passion, and there's been support as well. I mean, the support's good. The state's not big enough to be divided in any sense whatsoever. I mean, it's only 1.7 million people, and it's the same, you know, it's about the same 1.7 million people that it was 40 years ago, too. You know, there's just not a lot of growth because of the land structure. It's a very, very, very pretty state, but it's very hilly, and there's not a lot of space for communities and stuff like that. So, you know, the people are proud of their state, and they're proud of their Mountaineers, and we have to be united, you know, not only as a athletic department when it comes within the athletics, is from the booster club to the, you know, to what we're doing academically, what we're doing from basketball to baseball to any of that stuff. Everybody's got to be on the same team, and the whole state's got to be on the same team as well.
And how much was it stress to beat Pittsburgh when you met all those fans talking about being the number one fan?
What was that?
How much was stressed about beating Todd Graham and the University of Pittsburgh?
Oh, I don't pay any attention to that. I mean, I pay a whole lot of attention to it around game 11. I think it's game 11. I think we're in South Florida. Game 11.
Yep, right before South Florida. Coach, I think we lost you there. All right, we got Coach back down in Houston, Texas. And I tell you what, Coach, good luck this season. I mean, it's a team that's loaded, and obviously, you know, you got your chance to run the program now. So wish you nothing but the best of luck this season.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, man. I tell you, it's going to be a lot of fun. I don't know how good we are yet. You know, I mean, we'll figure that out after the first couple of games. But I will know it's going to be exciting, and kids are going to play hard, and we're gonna give it our best. I know that.
Well, I appreciate your time, Coach. Best of luck.
You got it. See ya. Have a good summer.
Thank you. Bye. And there you go, folks. Coach Dana Holgorsen. We'll be right back.